Welcome to Mission Critical, a podcast about the big picture, the purpose, and the values that drive today's most game-changing companies, entrepreneurs, and leaders. I'm your host, Lance Chung, Editor-in-Chief of Glory Media, and I'll be introducing you to a group of brilliant minds who are making an impact on the world and forging the path ahead. While they may all be very different from each other, the question remains the same. What's your mission? This episode is part of a larger series called Momentum, presented by Monogram Appliances, which aims to celebrate Asian leaders. Elevate your culinary domain with Monogram Luxury Appliances, where sophistication meets performance. Each piece is crafted for those who demand excellence. From precision-engineered ovens and cooktops with sapphire glass, to stunning refrigerator interiors that use aerospace technology, you can experience the art of cooking like never before. Monogram is redefining luxury in the kitchen. Visit monogram.ca and transform your kitchen into a statement of elegance and innovation.
Lily, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
It's so nice to see you. I'm doing so great. I'm so glad that we're chatting, and I feel like every time, because we've known each other for a little bit now, and every time I'm with you, it's always over like a really good meal or a really good drink at a night out. So this is a slightly different setting for us, but I'm so happy that we're here and you're in our studio and we can have an interview today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to start off, we've known each other for a little bit, and over that course of time, I've really seen you grow your profile and your influence here in Toronto's business and also like the social community as well. And it's something that you've had to carve out for yourself from scratch, obviously, since you have immigrated to Canada and really built out your foundation. Can you take us back to kind of, if we rewind, like your early days from your journey and what it was like when you first came to Canada and had to find your footing, especially in the world of finance?
I was actually going to go to US for my business school, and all of a sudden 9/11 happened in 2001, and so I was the only child of my family, so my parents said, do not go to US, find an alternative. So I was looking at the global ranking of business school on Financial Times, and reach Ivy School for Business at Western jumped out, and I applied to Ivy. I got a merit-based scholarship, and that's when I came to Canada in the summer of 2002. And I still vividly remember that summer, and soak up the sun from Sheryl Crow was blasting on the radio.
Yeah. That's a good timestamp.
That's when I came to Canada, not knowing a single soul in Canada. So it was both exciting and daunting at the time when I came to Canada. And fortunately, I was attending school, so I went to Rich Ivy School of Business. I came here also in the summer without knowing that the first snowfall happened on October 1st. So had a great summer, met some friends who's also attending Ivy, met new friends, and I went to one of the best business school in Canada and built my life here. So there's no regrets that I came to Canada. Mm-hmm. And in terms of building my myself up in finance industry, I was actually a tax accountant by training. I did my CA, CPA with PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I was fascinated about finance and the capital markets. So when I came to Canada, going to business school, I already had a goal, I want to get into finance. But life took a turn when I graduated in 2004. The economy wasn't doing well. Nobody was hiring from capital markets in investment banking role. So I actually pivot and took my accounting skill sets and actually joined the CFO office of a public traded company at Telco. And I worked in the CFO's office, helping the executive to get prepared for their earnings quarterly calls with research analysts from capital markets. And from that experience, then I found some mentors and eventually branched into capital markets as a stock trader on the trading floor for many years. And in 2015, I became a portfolio manager. Then I started to help high net worth clients and families and business owners to manage their portfolio. And so I'm very proud about, very proud of, myself. And I came from not knowing a single person in Canada to now I probably have more than 1,000 connections on LinkedIn.
Was it your first time to Canada when you moved here? Like, had you ever been to Toronto or anything before?
No, I've never been to Canada at that time. And then my impression of Canada was from a picture that my father took when he visited Vancouver. He was a businessman running an import and export business in China. So he visited New York and visited Vancouver and California. So he took some pictures. That was my only knowing of Canada. And also there's a famous comedian named Da Shen, who's actually from Toronto, and he's famous in China. And so that's this. And also Dr. Berthume, I think it's was very known, well-known doctor who supported Chinese community during World War II. So I would say there's, three touch points.
Yeah. And it's
Canada.
A good thing you came here in the summer, because if you came in the winter, it'd be probably a very different first impression when you moved here.
Absolutely, yeah.
What were kind of the initial challenges that you faced when you started to build out your foundation here and in the kind of corporate space? What would you say were kind of, what was your experience like building out that foundation?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I found between the Chinese culture and the Western culture, especially in the corporate world, is that in Chinese culture would promote humility. So we focus on working really hard, put your head down, being reserved, obey authority, and hopefully you will get noticed by working very hard. Mm. Versus in the corporate world, I think it's important for us to advocate for ourselves and asking really great questions and have personal brand, which is very different than the Chinese culture and how I was brought up. So I think, I think what really helped me, number one, was my education in Canada. I went to Richard Ivey School of Business, whereby the there's 30% of marks coming from class participation. So we were basically we have to speak up, and if you don't speak up, you will be cold called. So please speak up, and then we have to debate in front of 80 other peers. With professor or with another classmate. So I think that was a really good training ground for me to come out of my shell and don't be the cool kid, sit in the back of the classroom. You have to participate. And then from there, and I observed some of fantastic mentors and leaders who are in the corporate world and who could be female and not necessarily with Asian background, but they leaned in, they have phenomenal communication skills, and they're confident. They wear power suit with big shoulders. I was inspired by some of the mentors early on, so that I think I started to focus on building my personal brand, focusing on asking questions. There's really no stupid questions. Ask questions. Ask that first question in the town hall when you have one. Don't be afraid. And when you have good questions, always know the answers that the leaders probably will have. Don't ask the tough questions in front of the crowd, and focus on self-growth and learning.
Yeah. It is interesting because you know, our cultures are so much about like the collective, and then the Western cultures are so individualistic, and having to kind of break away from that and understand how to like advocate for yourself and put yourself out there. Also, even within our cultures, to your point, like keep your head down, don't cause a fuss, like, you know, don't try to stick out. But it's very, very different here, and especially if you're looking to get ahead or cultivate your own personal brand. In the world of finance and business, you know, it's also still largely male dominated, particularly at the highest levels, the decision-making levels, the senior levels. What strategies or what have you found to be helpful in terms of breaking through those kind of barriers?
So I've focused on three things: expertise, relationship, and confidence. So mastering my craft was non-negotiable. I really want to focus on what I'm good at and, you know, be excellent in what I do. In terms of the relationship, you know, seek out the mentors who are willing to help. Seek out also the sponsors who are, could be your boss and could be your boss's boss, and who's willing to help and advocate for you. Mm-hmm. And also confidence, so which means that I learned how to own my seat at a table and speak up with conviction to ensure that my contribution was recognized. In finance industry is still till today very male dominated, but there start to have a shift into you know, focus on equality, and we still have a long way to go. But I do think it's a great industry to be in, especially investment industry. I chose a career and that I would be paid exactly the same as my male peers with the same commission structure. And also I chose to serve some of the households with women as a financial decision makers. Mm. And also there's, you know, I have a great clientele who will inherit twice in their lives, once from their parents and the second time from their husbands, because women tend to live longer. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, although I work in the industry that is male dominated, but I think I see something that I can make a difference. I want to work with, you know, both male and female clients who value who I am and value the advice I give to them, and also do not ignore the women in the household. There was actually an anecdote that I would like to share. Once upon a time, I was introduced to this prospect. It's, you know, husband and wife by my boss, and then they requested to meet with two portfolio managers and investment counselors. And then so my male colleague went first, followed by me. And then I won the client at the end. I merely did one thing different. I dressed the wife first, then the husband, and then I made eye contact with both of them and speaking with both of them equally. Mm-hmm. And I didn't treat the wife any different than the husband, because I have no idea who's the financial decision maker, and wife happens to be the financial decision maker in our relationship, versus my colleague who came in and only dressed the husband, ignored the wife. So that's the only difference that I just didn't think that was appropriate. And that's how I won the client.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really interesting too, because you are working with, to your point, you know, a lot of women who are the financial decision makers within their household. And that, you know, as someone that does provide investment counseling and, you know, manages wealth for your clients, must feel empowering as well to be able to support others, you know, other women in terms of capturing as much success as possible.
Absolutely. I also have very successful male clients who built their business, built their wealth, and then they have daughters. So, mm-hmm. you know, the number one things that keep them up at night is, you know, how do I educate my daughters and make sure that they understand the value of money, they understand the businesses, they have financial literacy, how can I pass the torch to the next generation? So I recognize that needs and start to work on mentorship with the daughters of my clients and then, you know, educate them about budgeting, financial planning, as well as tax planning and value of money. And so that's one of my work focus today, and I see great success in it.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that your roots as an immigrant and kind of your experience as someone that has moved or has lived in a different culture and has moved here has shaped the way, you know, you approach business or leadership and also just your own personal success?
Being an immigrant has given me a deeper appreciation for resilience, adaptability, and hard work. So as I mentioned earlier, I came to Canada without knowing a single person here. So I adapted to the culture here very, very quickly. I remember back in the days, I listened to CBC radio on a daily basis. I came here with a British accent, so I worked really hard to change my accent to a North American accent. I want to feel the belonging, I want to assimilate, I want to fit in, but at the same time, not forgetting about my roots. My mother was actually a Chinese literature professor specialized in Tang Wansong dynasty poetry. So, you know, I was influenced heavily by my mother, who's very resilient as well, and who went through cultural revolutions mm-hmm. and then went back to university when I was 2 years old and eventually became a professor. So I think as an immigrant, I think I'm very adaptable and I'm very resilient, and then I'm also very flexible and learned how to pivot when things are not going well and going to the direction that I wish for.
Yeah, I love that.
And then because I'm an immigrant, I think that also shaped my personal leadership and mentorship style. So I value inclusivity, I value mentorship, and I also focus on paying it forward because I know how crucial support systems are for success and for immigrants. So if there's anybody who reached out to me, either from Rich Ivy School of Business or from a charity that I'm currently involved with, from, you know, children of my clients, and or just even on the way here, I had a great conversation with my Uber driver who happens to be an immigrant and who's currently studying law and is struggling with, you know, trying to make the two ends meet. So seize every opportunity to give back to who you come in touch with and who you come across, and give them that piece of advice and give them that wisdom, share your time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, building on that point, you know, kind of what role has mentorship played in your life and your career, either as, you know, as you mentioned, you being a mentor, or have there been mentors along the way for you as well?
Early on, didn't have many mentors that looked like me, but I sought out guidance where I could. So I remember back in the days, you know, I didn't have any capital markets experience, but I really want to get into capital markets, and extremely competitive, and it's again a male-dominated industry. So I found friends of friends who are, you know, clients of capital markets. So they run hedge funds and mutual funds in Canada. I reached out to them, asking for advice. So never underestimate people's needs of giving mentorship and giving back. So, because for them, it is in giving that they receive as well. So, once upon a time, they were the mentees of someone, so they want to pay forward. So, don't be afraid of reaching out, asking for help, and when you can find mentorship, formal or informal. So back in the days, I reached out to anybody and everybody who worked in capital markets and who were clients of capital markets to gain insight and ask for introduction to people, and then found my first job on the equity trading desk. So that's how I learned my first trading job. It's through mentorship. Mm-hmm. So I totally value that. And today, I think mentorship is something that I prioritize. I want to be the person for others that I once needed. I would say I carve out at least an hour each month to do a career chat over coffee with a young person, and a lot of times women, and to give back.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, you've built obviously a very impressive career, and you're also a very prominent member within just the, you know, Toronto's social community as well. What does success look like to you now compared to when you first started out? Like, has that definition changed, or your vision of success changed over the years?
Early on, success really meant financial security and career advancement. Now it's more about impact, mentoring the next generation, giving back, and creating opportunities for others. I think success should be defined by each one of us, not by others. So it doesn't have to be 100% financial success, or you have to have a C-suite job, because I think success means something very different for everyone. And I think definitely finding a career that you love, because we do spend more than 8 hours at work, and, you know, find something that you love to do. So similar to what Confucius said, if you love what you do, and you'll never work a day in your life, right? So, but don't overrate, you know, passion, because we also love to do well in certain things. And then once we do well in certain things, that could become and develop into a passion. So they're interrelated. So passion and success are interrelated. Definitely find something that will be a natural fit for your skill set, without just be comfortable in your comfort zone. So, you know, find something that is a natural fit for skill set, but give you room to grow and do really well. Like, you know, focus on that craft for a little while until you excel, and then build on success upon success. And because it takes time to be successful. But built on it.
Yeah, and to your point too, like success, how we viewed success as individuals, it changes. It's not just monetary, it could also be about, you know, time or health or whatever it is. And even for one person, the definition of success can change over the years too. You know, your vision of success when you're in your 20s is very different than maybe 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it is, right? And so that's always evolving as you do as an individual throughout throughout life as well. How important would you say, you know, something like networking and also just like kind of like your social presence is when it comes to career success, and, you know, what has your experience been like with regards to those?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
How important is networking and I guess like social capital when it comes to career success from your experience?
It is critical. Talent and hard work opens doors, but relationship will help you walk through them. So we always say that luck and opportunity. Opportunity means hard work. No, luck means hard work plus opportunity.
Mm.
So you're lucky because you worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And when the opportunity arrives, you can receive it. You can actually seize the opportunity. So it's not really pure luck. There's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
That goes first. So I think I think it's crucial that we network and we work really hard and we broaden our social network. And that's crucial to immigrants and definitely build your network, seek mentorships and position yourself for opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. How would you say you've really been able to leverage your own influence, your network, your resources, and your visibility to really, you know, help uplift others from the Asian Canadian community?
Yeah, absolutely. Representation matters. If my journey can inspire or open doors for others, then I've done something meaningful. I think, you know, as Asians, we are, like, we came from a culture that has thousands of years of history. So I think there's a lot of wisdom in our culture, and there's a lot of deep thinking in our culture. So if you can look into your roots and find those wisdoms, and then apply that to your day-to-day living, and what we need to do different could be just take that, the wisdom, the intelligence, the hard work, but also add on personal branding, advocacy for each other, and focusing on networking and broaden your horizon, and focus on self-growth, and also talking about your self-growth, and bounce the idea of each other, you know, of a peer or a mentor who are Asian by descent, but also, you know, other minority minorities, other friends who from another immigrant immigrant roots, and then bounce idea off them and see what you can get. I think, you know, if we can learn one thing from the Black community, they've done really well for themselves by advocating and by uplifting each other, by asking for help, by focusing on personal branding. So we need to learn from that community. We need to also bounce ideas off them and learn from them so that we can uplift ourselves.
Why do you think that the Asian community is more reserved in regards to things like that and personal branding? I guess if we're just generalizing at least, and kind of like what kind of lessons for yourself have you learned in building your own personal brand?
I think it has a lot to do with our upbringing, right? So I think, you know, a lot of, in our culture, we really promote that, you know, working hard, and it is a homogeneous culture. So we need to work collectively versus focusing on individualism. So I think that's the roots of our culture. And then when the Asian community arrived in Canada, most of them have taken a very hard, most of the time, a labor job of building the railways and doing things that are related to working very hard versus marketing, personal branding related. And we have a disadvantage when we arrived in this country hundreds of years ago because of the language barrier, because of, at the time, racial profiling and various barriers. So today, I think, you know, over the years of, you know, rebranding ourselves, and also thanks to Canada being such a multicultural society and community that we created. You know, the society is more open to diversity and inclusion, and then also I think there's a rise of Asian business people. There's a rise of very affluent high net worth clients arrived in Canada. I think that things start to change, and we need to seize the opportunity, and it's our time.
I love that. You know, you're very, very also active within the world of philanthropy and giving back to communities. What role does philanthropy play in your life, and how do you decide where to focus your efforts as well?
Philanthropy is deeply personal to me. I focus on causes that align with my own value. For example, healthcare and music and arts and marginalized community. Giving back isn't about financials, just about financial support and writing a check. It's also about using my skills, network, and voice to drive meaningful changes. I think that's what I'm focusing on. I think I have extensive network, as I mentioned. I probably have more than 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 meaningful connections on LinkedIn or off LinkedIn. So I think I can bring something unique to the table, to the charity that I'm involved, either through you know, my finance background or through my connection with high net worth clients and community, or through strategy. Because I think charity itself is trying to also branch into communities that are under-tapped and could be, you know, entrepreneurs and business owner community in Asian cultures. And so I think there's a need for philanthropy within Asian communities. So definitely utilize that, right? Mm. You know, we have fantastic connections that other communities may not have, and utilize that. But find something you're passionate about that's unique to you, that you feel you can add value and you can relate to. For me personally, it is music and art, because I'm a music lover. I love opera. So I'm on the board, currently on the board of Canadian Opera Company. And I am passionate about our improving our healthcare system. So I'm on the committee of SickKids Foundation's annual fundraisers called Squabs in the City. And I'm also on the committee for CANFAR, Canadian Foundation for AIDS Research. And that's in support of healthcare as well as in LGBTQ community.
Yeah, I have to ask, how do you find the time to do to volunteer and also do your day job and everything, and also, you know, your personal life? How do you manage all of that?
Absolutely, I think it's you can do it all, but you cannot do it all at the same time. So it's all about priority. How do you prioritize? And then I highly recommend also a book. It's called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So I think efficiency is very, very important in someone like myself who has a busy career. And I also have my 9 to 5, I have a very busy career, but from 5 to 9, I'm also focused on charity and philanthropy. So I don't think that time should be the limiting factor for us to give back. Giving back is a mindset, giving back is a habit. So big or small, you can start today.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, like reframing kind of what it means to kind of give back to. Do you think that there are any misconceptions around philanthropy and giving back, like things that people might not understand or have a preconceived notion about when it comes to philanthropy?
I do think, you know, people may feel I can only do philanthropy when I become successful and I have financial success. And also they think, you know, philanthropy is associated with privilege. If you're trust fund baby, of course you can give back. Mm-hmm. And true philanthropy is about impact, not about being recognized. So just remember that. It's purely a goodwill to give back your time, your knowledge, and hoping to make a difference. So you're not anticipating the recognition. You are purely just donating and volunteering your time, your know-how, your network.
Yeah.
Because it's in giving that you receive, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So you've already received when you were giving.
Right. Yeah, I do think that, like, a lot of people think, you know, when it comes to philanthropy and charity work, that it's like, I feel like I'm so stretched thin, like I don't know if I have any, you know, if I have any money to give. But it's not just about monetary donations, it's your time. If anything, it's actually more about, like, your time, your connections, your resources, and your network, or even just experience to be able to lend to, as you say, impact, and ultimately what a charity or an organization is looking to really affect in their causes, right?
Absolutely.
With your work, what do you think is kind of like the legacy you really hope to leave behind, or kind of, you know, how are you looking to open doors for the people behind you, not just in finance, but also just the community at large?
I want to be remembered as someone who is kind and who is a doer and who created opportunity for others, uplifted others, and it left a lasting impact beyond financial success. I'm not looking forward to get my names on one of the buildings, but I want to be remembered as someone who came across a young person who could be like myself, came to this country as an international student, and graduated in an environment when there's a higher unemployment rate and they're struggling to find their first job, and there are maybe they have landed their first job, but they have they've been struggling to advance themselves in the career path that they want to spend their time and investing in. And or it could be someone who was unprivileged, who didn't have the education that I had, yet they're resilient and they're smart and they want to change their narratives, and they want to change their fate, and they want to take on challenges in their lives. So I want to be remembered as that person who spent time with them and made them think differently and take action. And I want to be remembered as that person who connected them with someone who's hiring, who's mentoring, who's willing to sponsor. Someone that may look very different than themselves.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Last question here. You know, if you could give one piece of advice to a young Asian immigrant, or maybe even like yourself when you were first here, who are just kind of starting their careers, what would that piece of advice be?
I think my advice would be own your story. Your Asian background is actually your strength, not your weakness. And I would actually also share one of the quotes from Margaret Thatcher, that is, watch your thoughts, for they will make your words. Watch your words, for they will make your action. Watch your action, for they will make your habits. Watch your habits, for they will forge your character. Watch your character, for it will shape your destiny.
Mm.
think about that.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks so much, Lily.
Thank
I really
you.
Enjoyed that.
Thank you, Lynn.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you liked, who you'd like to see on the show, and anything else you want to share. To keep up to date, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Until next time, ask yourself, what's your mission?